everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show, making sure that our bumper music selection from George Harrison today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, one of your favorites.
Absolute favorites.
Yeah, and Tom has put together some great bumper music for us. He's all ready to go. Tom, how are you, first of all? I always like to ask this of you. You seem very in a very good mood today.
I think that's fair.
Good.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty good mood, yeah.
He's jovial.
Yes, he's jovial.
I don't know if I'm jovial.
It's contagious to see your smile. Anyway, it is Friday, February the 17th, 2017, and you may be listening to this program Saturday afternoon because the program does re-air on KVOI Saturday afternoons at 4. On Friday, we like to thank our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan. Inside Tucson Business, thank you for your support. Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun, Dan Shear, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans all support our program. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is with us. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you return to the Buckmaster Show microphones. And Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for Arizona Daily Star, the Arizona Daily Star. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Well, good to see you as usual. And, of course, it is a talkback show. That's the way they call it over in England, talkback. 790-2040, that means you call, and we most likely will put you on the air after Tom screens your call. All right, Mayor, let's get right into it. Why should voters approve this half-cent sales tax for fire, police, and roads?
So let me explain it real quickly. It's Proposition 101. We call it Invest in Tucson 2017. It's a five-year tax, so it's a limited tax with a sunset, a one-half-cent increase to the sales tax. That will cost each voter $3 a month for those 5 years. The way I like to put it is for $3 for a cup of coffee a month for 5 years, you're going to get $100 million of new roads and a 21st century police and fire department. Let me give you a little detail on it. 4 years ago, the voters passed 409. That was $100 million for roads. We have been incredibly successful with that. We are ahead of budget, ahead of schedule. We've done more roads than we thought we could, partly because fuel prices were down, and we have earned the people's trust doing roads. We're going to do the roads the same way this next time, and we're going to have a citizens oversight committee, the same one. It's a spectacular committee. Last time we did 85% arterials and 15% residential. This time we're going to do 60% arterial slash collector and 40% residential. If we had put all our money to arterials, we would be, and I know I'm overly sensitive about the pothole jokes, we would be the only city in the United States in the last 10 years that had redone all of our arterials in 10 years. The problem is we have a great deficit in our residential streets, and so we thought this time we would put more to residential. On the police and fire side, all of it is going to equipment, vehicles, stations, and technology. And I know I don't want to get you too far in the weeds. I know you have a lot you want to talk about.
A lot to cover, and I got a quick follow-up for you.
But I want to be really quick on this. Tucson is one of only nine cities. There's only nine cities in the entire state, 92 cities, that have a lower sales tax rate than Tucson. Mm-hmm. Of those cities, every one of them but one charges a residential rental tax. We're prohibited from doing that. All but two charge a tax on food for home consumption, groceries. We're prohibited by our charter from doing that. Marana is at 2.5%. Oro Valley is at 2.5%. They're all there permanently, as are most cities in Arizona. We're only asking for a five-year period to bring us to a point where we can give $100 million more roads and do very specific projects, capital projects with police and fire. And you can go to the website, Invest in Tucson 2017, and every project is specifically listed.
Right. The opposition to this says they would agree with you that this is needed. However, they say, the folks who are planning to vote no, where was the city before in fixing this? Why did it get to this point?
So with regard to the roads, as everybody knows, I hope, our HERF money has been swept for years. Let me tell you, it's really simple, Bill. I think we can all agree at this point, the federal government is not going to help us. The state government is not going to help us. Each year when we go to that legislature, more and more money is taken from us. The only people who are going to take care of us is us. We would have no road fixed in this community for 20 years had it not been for what we had done 5 years ago. That's something you have to continue to renew. With regard to police and fire, it's a question of putting capital in. And we're in a position where year after year, we're seeing money taken away from us. And we need this money. Look, if you want to increase the business we've seen here coming in the last year, and it's been a phenomenal year, you've got to have good roads. You've got to have good 21st century public safety. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure. I know there's radio chatter. The Chamber of Commerce has come out in favor of this. The Southern Arizona Home Builders have come out in front of this. The Tucson Association of Realtors have come out in front of this. TPOA and TFD, which, by the way, is not as easy as you might think because they're looking at, you know, other things that they're interested in, have come out in favor of this. All the business organizations in this community have come out in favor of this. The Democrats, of course, have come out in favor of this. So I'm not sure where that opposition is other than to make talk.
Okay. Sarah, jump in here because we've got a couple of callers, too, that want to talk about taxes.
I wanted to just ask you to quickly to explain to the listeners about what you mean when you say that the HERF money was swept.
Okay. So I think it was in 1994 that the voters of Arizona voted to raise gas tax and put that money to pavement preservation across the state. Over the years, the state legislature has taken that money because they won't raise taxes and have used it to fund the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Motor Vehicles. So if we were getting the monies that were originally allocated by the voters, which we thought the intent was to go to pavement preservation, across the state, we would be seeing better roads. This year in the governor's budget, last year there actually was a small restoration. This year, the entire sum was swept.
And that is the highway user funds.
Highway user revenue fund.
And Carl actually has a question about that, one of our listeners. Carl, you're with the mayor. Go ahead.
Yes. What exactly is that percentage? Because I listen to the various talk shows and so forth, and the impression that I get from perhaps you incorrectly and other people that at the county, that the state just takes all of the HERF money completely across the board, and other people are saying it's anywhere from 5% to 20%, which means that you still actually got some of the HERF money. What is the percentage?
You're correct. Some of the money is delivered. I think when they're talking about that, I'm thinking it's close to around 35% that's swept. But what that means is about $95 million, which means for our jurisdiction, I'm not even counting the county, so it would probably be about double if you count the whole area. For Tucson, that would be about $10 million. So when you're talking about this half cent, which is essentially $20 million a year for 5 years for roads, if you had that HERF money, you'd be in a lot better position.
Okay, Tom has Carl, did you have a quick follow-up or no?
Yeah, one quick follow-up on that. What guarantee is there that the money from the half-cent sales tax will go into the budget and you won't cut the budget and put that part
so
back into the...
Good question. We've put in the ordinance that this money is not to supplant, but it is to add to. And by the ordinance, we absolutely, unlike some other issues that have run in the past, this one requires that those monies will be spent exactly as put in ordinance. It's the law that we have to follow. And if you go look at our 409, you will see that every dollar has been put to every road at the scheduled time. And again, because it's capital, it's a lot easier to do that with. You can just check it off as you go along. And that's true, obviously, for roads, it's very easy. But the way we've structured police and fire is the same thing. It's fire stations. It's 957 vests, life-saving vests for our policemen. It's new technology. In every single item, you'll be able to know, yes, that was bought or it was not bought.
All right. Tom called us. He wants to ask a question about the Reed Park Zoo. Tom, are you there?
Yes. Mayor, what is the possibility of there being a zoo tax?
Okay.
The Friends of the Zoological Society did, in the last couple of days, pull a petition to go out and ask for a tenth of a cent. I have met with them a few hours before they pulled it, and am encouraging them to work with us to at a larger entire parks proposition that would include the zoo. My concern is that if you don't do this in a very measured and calculating way, that the voters will just say no to everything, and they understand that without this roads tax passing, without this public safety tax passing, that's going to hurt the zoo very badly, because our first priorities are our public safety and our roads, and if we don't have the money from that source, it's going to have to come from other sources. I would very much like to work with the zoo to look at their most serious needs, and I think we can do that, and we're going to have that dialogue over the next few months and see where they end up. And I would hope that they would join us as a city. They are a city entity in getting – it's a really beautiful zoo now, but sure, if we can make it better, but the question is – how much and when.
All right. And to clarify, before we take the break, the zoo, this is still a proposal that has nothing to do with the May vote.
Correct. And whether it gets to the ballot or not, we're a long way from that.
All right. Let's take a break right here. How about some George Harrison? I think we could all use a little bit of My Sweet Lord. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Plus, we'll talk with state lawmaker Mark Fincham. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, with worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and the complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of George Harrison. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for The Star. One of her favorite performers, and I think that's one of your favorite songs, right?
It is indeed.
What album was that on originally? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
I had to put you on the spot there. But Tom's going to help us out with that. We'll find that out very quickly. The mayor is with us. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, and there is a special meeting. The Tucson Unified School District Board will have a special meeting on Tuesday night. There is one item on the agenda, and that is whether or not to retain Dr. H.T. Sanchez as the superintendent at TUSD or to terminate his contract, which is actually goes through a year from, I believe, June. You have been a big supporter of Dr. Sanchez.
I am a supporter of Dr. Sanchez. I think it would be an incredible mistake to let him go. You know, I've worked with him personally, particularly on the Steps to Success program, which he thought of, which has brought back over 500 former dropouts to TUSD. But the fact of the matter is there is no cause to terminate him. Under a very difficult situation, enrollment is up for the first time in the district. If you go into the classrooms, the discipline is and the spirit of the students is excellent. The academic achievement is up, and probably just as important is the stability of the district. There have been at least six different superintendents, I'm going to say, over the last decade. And to have somebody who has a vision, who is professional, who is not afraid to make hard decisions. And for me, I take it personally because I'm trying to get a city that is economically vibrant, We've made a lot of progress over the last several years, but everybody looks at that large school district in the city, and if they see instability in that large school district, that's just another battle I have to fight. And I don't know where it's coming from rationally, and I certainly hope that if there's a swing vote, that swing vote appreciates the importance of courage and leadership for the benefit of all of Tucson.
What would they have to pay, do you think, if there was not cause? What are the numbers?
What I have heard...
You're an attorney. You understand these things.
I do understand these things. I didn't write the contract.
No.
But what I have heard is that it's a $700,000 buyout. The problem with that is if you go to find cause and that cause turns out to not be legitimate and you end up in a lawsuit, those numbers go up exponentially because juries don't like people making up cause and they tend to punish for it.
All right. The name of the album, Sarah, was Living in the Material World by George Harrison.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. You're up to the plate.
In terms of the legislature and the relationship with the city, how are things this session compared to previous sessions? I know the gun situation continues. Could you kind of update us on that?
Well, on the gun case, it's going to be argued February 28th. The Supreme Court yesterday, I learned this morning, asked for response briefs to response briefs. So we'll see. They've given six different routes to go, and we'll see where that goes. The legislature has not treated Tucson this year any differently than it's treated any other city. The problem is, and I sit at the League Executive Committee of the League of Cities and Towns, and it's an interesting group. It really does cross the political spectrum from moderate left to pretty far right. And all of the mayors from whatever cities, including the most conservative mayors, are just aghast at some of the legislation they're seeing coming down this year and the way that it could affect their cities. Changes to construction sales tax, changes to the way you collect revenue, cuts into state-shared revenue from cities. So the mayors of our most conservative cities are up lobbying and just trying to understand why it is, you know, other than it's the kick down theory, why it is you would try to hurt the places where the most people live. Quite frankly, if you put all of our cities together, it's about where 85% of the population lives. So we'll be up there. There's certain things like the GPLET is something that's important, obviously, to Tucson. It's helped build downtown.
What is that?
That's the government property lease excise tax, where we give a tax rebate for a number of years if it can be shown by independent analysis that the return on that investment will be multiples in terms of taxes. And that's been very successful. And it's something the legislature did right years ago because it put a process in place where you could have checks to make sure things that work. Well, there's a bill there to take that away this year. When it first came down, I just figured, well, there's good, you know, we're after Tucson again. Mesa, Chandler, Gilbert, Phoenix, Tempe are all going, why is this happening? Why are you trying to take away the economic engines of any state are the cities?
And let's talk about the last time you were here saying that economic development is the best you've seen since maybe the end of World War II.
I continue to say that. We had a great year. You know, the big four this year were Raytheon, 2,000 jobs, Caterpillar, 700 new jobs, paying over $100,000 apiece, Comcast, 1,200 jobs, if the multilingual center paying more than what our median wage here is, and Home Goods, which put its largest distribution center in the United States in southeast Tucson limits. But there's been lots of others. ADP just added 400 jobs. Alarica just added 400 jobs. El Rio TMC have a new project going downtown that's going to add jobs.
2,000 more jobs are in the pipeline, according to what I'm hearing, before the end of this year, which gives us like 10 months.
Yeah, and those are the miscellaneous jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it has clearly been the best year Tucson has had in decades. Now, I've said this in two ways. I used to say it a little more. Just simply that, you know, my view of that is it's like a football game. You play it on Saturday, you win, you rest and celebrate on Sunday, and you go back to work on Monday. And we do that. But I do have concerns in the national environment that we're going to have to work a lot harder. A lot of those companies came to Tucson because of our relations with Mexico and because of our proximity to Mexico.
And isn't it true that companies that are looking to move to a place, they monitor the heck out of the news to see what is going on in that particular community? So that gets back to what you were saying about this discord, this dust-up in the area's largest school district.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you, I remember a conversation with one of Sarah's former bosses, maybe still boss in some level, how it really is these businesses. It's very competitive, and it's like going to recruit an athlete, and we want this number one athlete. Well, that number one athlete is being recruited by four or five other cities, and those four or five other cities, believe me, they go to the newspapers of the mm-hmm. of the places mm-hmm. where, oh, well, look what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Everything isn't Pollyannish, and you don't want to be Pollyannish, but you don't want to create situations or perceptions that may not be true, because those have unintended consequences. Now, this thing in TUSD, that's, you can report that straight, and that's
I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that would be the best way to put it.
All right, Mayor, I know you need to run. There is the funeral for a longtime Democratic Party activist, Martin Bacall, and I know you want to be there. Can I make a personal note about Martin? I remember Martin from, I had just started at Channel 6 in 1988. He's one of my first interviews on the TV, and he sure gave me a schooling in local politics, and he was right on with a lot of what he said.
Well, I got involved really after 2004, so much later, and went down to Democratic headquarters, and Martin was one of those guys. You kind of, there's a certain part of that. He had a desk,
yep.
And he probably sat at that desk for close to 40 years, mm-hmm. and he perceived the world from that desk, and there's part of that that you kind of say, hey, could you move from that desk? But there's another part of that, that there's kind of a wisdom in that, where somebody watches from one perspective for years and years.
Right.
And you can go to that desk, and I learned an incredible amount from Martin, and I just want to go pay my respects.
All right. Thank you very much, Mayor. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Bill.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. Linda Valdez is in the wings from the Arizona Republic, and she'll join Sarah, and we'll have our roundtable right after more George Harrison.
If not for you, babe, I couldn't even find the door. I couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of George Harrison, Sir George Harrison, the late great. Sarah Garrett Gasson, rockin' and rollin'. Sarah loves George Harrison.
I do indeed.
And Linda Valdez, you're probably not just lukewarm. You probably have some pretty strong feelings for Mr. Harrison.
Oh, he's okay with me. I was a big John Lennon fan. Uh-huh. George is okay, but John was the real genius of the group.
Mm-hmm. Linda Valdez joining us, editorial a writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. And Sarah shares the same title, but at a different publication, the Arizona Daily Star.
Indeed.
All right. Also, congratulations, my Australian friend Mark Bishop. His show returns to KVOI at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So to give that a tune in. And then our show repeats, this program repeats at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So if you're listening on Saturday afternoon, you've already heard Mark's show. It gets kind of confusing, but anyway, welcome back, Mark, to the airwaves. Linda, what's going on at the legislature with this effort to really shoot down, deflate something that was written into the Arizona Constitution 105 years ago? Just had Statehood Day a few days ago, that basically dilutes the power of the initiative process.
Well, you put it pretty well, Bill. That's what they're trying to do. This is really as a result of the minimum wage vote.
Payback.
Yes, it's payback. It's really orchestrated by the Chamber of Commerce, and they do not like some of the things that have come down through the initiative process, and there is an attempt in the legislature to make it much more expensive, to make it just basically gum up the works and make it much more difficult to use the process that, as you pointed out, was written into the Constitution to give the people a way around the legislature so that they can write their laws directly. And it's been used to great effect in the past, expanding health care, to mandate humane treatment of animals, to ban leg hold traps, things, and not to mention minimum wage, doing things that lawmakers would not do. And I would not be at all surprised to see these measures pass.
And one of the items would make it very, I don't think you would be able to pay people to gather signatures for you.
Well, what they're trying to do is right now they pay people per signature,
there
and they want to make it so that you would pay per hour to mm-hmm. these collectors, which would reduce the incentive to gather a lot of signatures and make it much, much more expensive. And basically, it's next to impossible to do these the signature gathering efforts with volunteers because you have to gather so very many signatures.
And the other part of the signature issue is that I think there are checks. I mean, signatures are valid, are verified. They opponents can file and say no, we think there's invalid signatures, and so it's not as if everything has been all about fraud and everything without any sort of already existing measure to make sure the signatures are valid. I mean, we've had many, well, maybe not many, but we have had instances where initiatives and petitions have been thrown out by the courts because the signatures turned out to not be valid, and that there's no benefit really for a group to try to get through false signatures. So it's another way that I think the legislature is trying to put roadblocks and in front of the public and keep themselves as the only way we can pass laws. And I don't think that's the way the founders of the Arizona Constitution intended it.
Just got an email. Someone says we are misleading our audience, saying this dilutes the power of the initiative process, but still works with volunteers. There's a big difference, according to this listener.
I'm not quite sure. They're saying that they could still do it with volunteers,
mm-hmm.
except practically speaking, that's not possible anymore. So in one respect, this person is correct. These initiatives are not entirely grassroots. They have to raise money, and they often raise money from out of state to pay for the petition gathering. But it would make that petition gathering much, much more expensive, so that if you were seeking money to do it, only the very, very wealthy would have the option to do that.
Yeah, it's, I think, a distinction that on paper looks like there's not a big change, but as Linda said, logistically and practically speaking, it would be a severe roadblock.
Has the Secretary of State's office weighed in at all on this? Do you know? You have not heard
anything? I don't know about that.
We'll have to ask Michelle Reagan, who will be our guest on Wednesday on the show, what her opinion is of this. The whole legislative, we keep hearing that there's much more open dialogue, Linda Valdez, at the legislature this year. Are you seeing or hearing any signs of that?
I'm not really, Bill, but to be perfectly honest, it's been like drinking from a fire hose with all the national stuff going on.
Right.
So I haven't had the chance to pay as much attention to the state as I probably should be paying.
Well, we hear that things are better.
Well, that's what, I mean, Senator Steve Farley right. has made comments to that effect. We haven't been hearing the drip, drip, drip of really nastiness coming out of the Capitol and frustration, even just on Facebook posts and the sort of civic dialogue that you come across in social media. So I think the absence of frustration, maybe we can read it in an Arizona sort of way as positive news.
The gas tax, the effort for increasing the gas tax, that certainly fell by the wayside. That didn't take long, Linda.
No, that one didn't take long, and not terribly surprising, but Arizona's gas tax hasn't been raised in 25 years, since the year my daughter was born, 1991. And as the mayor was pointing out, there are a lot of problems in cities with their roads, and the state highways need repairs as well. So it was a good plan, but it fell by the wayside.
There's also, speaking of plans, and I don't know if the White House has confirmed this, but there's a talk of National Guard being used to round up undocumented immigrants in 11 states, including Arizona. It would require, from what the early indications, the reports I've seen, it would require that the governor of each of the 11 states would have to sign off on having the National Guard become involved with immigration enforcement.
This is an interesting situation, because the White House now is denying.
That's what I understand.
Very vigorously denying.
They're
that.
They're certainly backing off on those reports.
And they were apparently, there is a memo. The memo is in existence that was prepared for Department of Homeland Security. And the memo was obtained by Associated Press. And Associated Press went to the White House to ask for a reaction and did not get it, and went ahead and published. And now they're being pilloried as purveyors of fake news because the White House is denying it. So it almost seems like a strategy to kind of further discredit the mainstream media. On the other hand, the idea of a national deportation force is something Donald Trump talked about mm-hmm. during the campaign. Mm-hmm. And he made a big point yesterday in his press conference that he is following through with his campaign promises. Hmm. So I would not be terribly surprised to see something like this happen in the future, which would put the governors yeah. of Republican-held states, such as Arizona, in a very difficult position.
It would, and it'd be very interesting to see the way Doug Ducey would go on something like that.
Absolutely. And as far as the White House disavowing it or trying to discredit it, I mean, just wait 30 minutes and they'll say something entirely different. But the idea that we would have the National Guard rounding up people is chilling. I know that there have been times when the National Guard's been deployed along the border to help with border security needs. But I will say that Donald Trump he has been saying what he said what he would do, mm-hmm. and there is no mystery.
There hasn't been a lot of departure from what he had said on the campaign trail and what he's giving us now.
Right, which is why I never understood why anyone would say, well, he's saying these things just to get elected, and then he won't possibly do them. I mean, he is doing what he said he was going to do.
Let's go to the live line. One of our listeners, Dan, would like to say something about the National Guard contingency plan. Dan, what's on your mind? Real quickly, please.
I was in Washington in the Navy many years ago. We write contingency plans on thousands of different items that might come up. And this National Guard thing originally came up back in the 50s.
Okay.
And there's thousands of these things, and the Associated Press could get a hold of one and produce it anytime they want to. And it's just another example of not believing our mainstream media.
Hmm. What makes you think that they have done that? Is he no longer
Dan,
with
are
us?
You still there?
Yeah, yes, I am. What did you say?
Go ahead.
I interrupted. Yeah. I'm just wondering what specifically makes you think that is what is happening in this instance.
Because this item on, do you know what military contingency plans are?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, this item came up, I'm telling you, 40 years ago or more, about what would happen if there were riots in the Southwest. As you may remember, back during the war, Hitler was trying to get Mexico to invade the United States with the idea that they would get the entire western half of this country if Germany won the war.
So
Are you aware
yeah.
of that?
Yeah, yeah no,
but,
I'm.
But you did, Dan. You did make an accusation. I think you brought this, that this was just fake news.
Yeah, the way you presented it made me think that you were asserting that the Associated Press got a hold of some kind of historical document or some esoteric contingency plan, and they're presenting
this. The Associated Press has access through informers. Okay. To any of this stuff that they want to sneak out of the building.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. What can you say? I do want to say, follow up on what the discussion with the mayor, Sarah, about this special meeting that the TUSD board has called. And it's going to be very interesting to see. It looks like Michael Hicks, the president of the TUSD governing board, is going to be the swing vote. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard what the mayor had said about the numbers he presented about what this will cost TUSD in the form of a buyout.
Oh, absolutely. You can never just get rid of someone with a contract in a high-paying position, whether it's a football coach or a school district superintendent, without money being changing hands per the contract.
Well, and I think it's going to cost the district more than just money. It's going to cost instability. I mean, TUSD is working very hard to make improvements, and Sanchez may not be everybody's favorite, but he has provided stability. He has a plan. Things are going reasonably well. Why would you throw that into chaos? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever for one board member to come in and try to throw a monkey wrench in everything when she's only just started. She doesn't seem to have a grasp of the power of her position or her ability to disrupt things. I think it's very troubling to me. It's very troubling.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. What's coming up in your column is Sunday, isn't it?
My column is Sunday. It's about eggs.
Eggs?
Eggs about cage-free eggs. I took another tour of the Hickman Egg Facility, and I tell you all about it.
Mm. How are the eggs? Did you have any or try any? No.
Are you a scrambled person?
I usually scramble.
Oh,
the
okay.
issue is the humane treatment of the chickens. And
of
I have
course.
To tell you, in the cage-free facilities, they appear to be much happier.
Happier, and I would assume that would translate into a maybe better tasting eggs.
More delicious
More
omelets.
More delicious, yeah. Sarah, you have a column Sunday?
I do. I will.
Subject
be, sorry.
Is
it's. I'm going to be writing about the school vouchers and the cost.
That's another huge issue that's
it
been
is
going.
Indeed.
But we'll save that for another time. Sarah and Linda, thank you very much for participating in the show. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll be right back with Matt and Weekend Watch. What's going on? Where is the happy hour of the day tonight? Back after this.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour road trip, and you're in a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. Take a hike in the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So much to do in that area. The full listing of the many recreation opportunities, which include not only hiking, but I guess you could call eating a recreation opportunity. There are quite a few of those in Silver City as well. Some great restaurants, great places to stay. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of eating, Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, is an expert when it comes to finding great places to eat. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, and let me echo your comments. Yes, eating is always a recreational opportunity.
Of course it is. Anything going on in our vineyards area?
Yeah, you know what? One of my favorite Arizona wineries is Sand Reckoner Vineyards, and they're out in Wilcox.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to report, Bill, that they're going to be launching a tasting room right here in Tucson. And the grand opening is tomorrow at 11 a.m. So the new digs are over at 510 North 7th Avenue in the old Warehouse Arts District. And they're going to be serving flight tastings of all their wines, from a gorgeous rosé to some blends inspired by the Bordeaux and Rhone regions. It's a super cool urban setting with some great wines. help welcome Sand Reckoner to town tomorrow.
Some folks love wine, and they also like beer, so there's some great beer opportunities.
For sure, and if you're a beer fan, tomorrow is your big day as well. It's the annual Tucson Craft Beer Crawl, where more than 10 downtown area venues are going to be hosting about 30 brewers from across Arizona and beyond. It all starts at 1 o'clock. You can map your own crawl, swing into any of these venues, sample the suds, plenty of time built in, Bill, to stop for a bite to eat along the way. All you need is a wristband and a map, and that all starts by getting your tickets at TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com.
You always have such great recommendations for brunch for our listeners.
I'm a big brunch guy, Bill, and the Urban Farm-inspired menu over at Pasco Kitchen and Lounge on University Boulevard, that's just been recreated for brunch, which brings their traditional sort of comfort food concept to the weekend, morning, and early afternoon hours. You're going to find Pasco twists on some classics like huevos rancheros and some new dishes like chorizo breakfast tacos on blue corn tortillas. Put some brunch cocktails in the lineup and you're going to get your weekend going the right way.
What's in Inside Tucson Business, the column?
Well, as the countdown to Fat Tuesday commences, Bill, I sat down with a couple of local chefs to understand the differences between Cajun and Creole cuisine. So whether you enjoy your meals in the heart of the city or closer to the swamp, you'll be fully prepared for Mardi Gras after reading this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Of course, we love Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Phillips Plaza, one of the fine Buckmaster show sponsors. I know you're a big follower as well.
Indeed, and they're going to have an amazing Mardi Gras celebration starting on Monday before Fat Tuesday. So it's awesome.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right, so many people to thank on Friday that do such a great job here at KVOI. But before we do that, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program on behalf of the entire team here at KVOI. Starting at the top with station managers and owners Doug and Mary Martin, the operations manager, who also doubles as my engineer and producer Monday through Thursday, Ray Allen. Tom Fairbanks. Tom does a great job engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on Fridays. Shout out to Jerry Cross, the Ace production guy, and of course Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. And the front office staff do a great job as well. Original music by Chris Stefan. On behalf of all of us at Buckmaster, we wish you a wonderful and a safe weekend.